we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA Now. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. Just a little wrinkle here, technically, at the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, but we're here.
Before we get to the headlines, how are you?
I'm good. I went to my oncologist yesterday. I had blood tests. I now have to have blood tests every 2 weeks to check my liver and kidney function because I'm on a new scary cancer drug. I'm on two cancer drugs now, but I'm happy to report that I'm not having any real side effects. I'm having some hot flashes from the first one, which is supposed to put me back into menopause, which it did. But that menopause was never terrible for me, so it's okay. But they keep very, very close watch on you, and I really appreciate that. They call me to make sure I'm taking drugs on time. They call me about delivering new versions. They check on my drug interactions, and they check on side effects.
They must like you. They must really like you. I don't get that kind of checkups. I go see doctors, but...
Well, you're not... you don't have breast cancer, you're not taking scary drugs, as far as I know.
Well, I am taking fistfuls of painkillers right now, and a friend was over, and he saw what I was taking. He says, you better start drinking more water.
Exactly.
It's going to kill your liver.
Exactly. You have to drink a lot of water for all these things. Oh, and I finally almost finished my vaccines. I took 3 in one day the other day, RSV, Tdap, and the COVID booster.
And before I forget, Mpox is not going away. Get your Mpox vaccines.
Yeah. But I'm basically doing okay, and I hope to continue to do okay. And I like all my doctors. That, I think, makes a big difference if
Absolutely.
You get along with your doctors. And I walked out of the exam room yesterday, and coming around the corner was this older lesbian couple who caught a glimpse of me and stopped in their tracks and said, you're Ann Northrup. And I said, yes, I am. And we proceeded to have a nice 20-minute chat.
I never told the story about a month ago. I'm eating in a Chinese restaurant with a friend, and these guys come over and say, oh, my God, you know, you helped us come out. They're a middle-aged couple. And I said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I asked for the check, and the waiter says, oh, no, they paid it.
Wow. Nice.
We appreciate that. And we appreciate any contributions you can make to keep us going. Go to gayusatv.org, maybe an end-of-the-year contribution, and help us out. Thank you.
I want to make a hard turn on this to the Epstein files, because we're taping on Wednesday. All the drama happened yesterday about the votes. But there are two things to watch out for. As everyone is saying, Trump, he's now ordered these investigations to the Democrats so that he doesn't have to release the files.
Exactly.
Because the law is if there is an investigation going on, you can't release any...
They're so clever. They're really diabolical.
They're not that diabolical because it's all out in the open and everybody knows. But here's what else I caught a glimpse of somewhere. One thing about this 50-day delay, they've had a lot of time to scrub the files.
Please.
Scrub all the Republican names out of
Please.
The files. So
they deny it.
Oh.
No.
Please.
Hold it. There was a guy who was the source
it.
Of this story who said that's already happening.
And yeah,
they said,
and they've had 50 days to do
it. He didn't work here. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, right.
We
yeah.
know everything.
Because they're so trustworthy.
Well, I mean, look, I have a quote from Jamal Bowie, who was a Times columnist.
Yeah.
He said, the Constitution is obviously not working. In any other administration, at any other time in American history, this level of corruption would be a political disaster, a scandal that could bring down the administration. For the Trump administration, it's a Tuesday.
Well, they tried just a few years ago in the first administration to take him down. They impeached him twice.
They had their opportunity. Mitch McConnell blinked.
Yeah. Well, John Thune is not blinking at the moment.
That's true, because, Mike Johnson sent over the, voted for the bill, said, I don't support this, but my friends in the Senate will fix it. Because I can't change the bill the way it is now, but they can. And then they didn't. And they caught Mike Johnson in the hallway, and he was...
He's very
upset. He was ambushed.
He's upset.
Horrible, horrible. All right.
All right.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Thursday, November 20th, is the Trans Day of Remembrance. So take it, if you're hearing this in time or any time, Google that. Look for, there are probably events going on all weekend. Google your area and find out what's going on.
Yes. All right. So in other news this week, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about that stuff too, the California Supreme Court upholds a law forbidding willful misgendering of patients and residents in healthcare settings. It's actually a fascinating decision.
It is. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, you've seen them out there. They're defending immigrants and the way they're being treated by the Trump administration. But at the same meeting, they banned gender-affirming care at Catholic hospitals.
Speechless. And the Catholic Archdiocese of Denver is petitioning the Supreme Court for the right to receive public money for pre-K while still discriminating against LGBTQ students and families.
They want our money. They don't want to follow our laws.
Yep.
The plutocrats who tried to stop Zoran Mamdani from getting elected mayor plotted with Trump on how to impose an anti-LGBTQ governor in New York State to thwart Mamdani in his mayoralty.
They're playing chess now these days. They're making moves all over. Whatever. Meanwhile, the current mayor of New York, Eric Adams, won't fire an anti-LGBTQ pastor who then moved on to vicious anti-Islamic bigotry.
No problem in the Adams administration.
Well, he doesn't have much longer.
Pete Buttigieg says Democrats are too concerned about identity.
Blah, 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 blah. Legendary lesbian activist Nadine Smith, what a heroine, taking on a new leadership role after 28 years at the helm of Equality Florida. We'll show you a little of her going away speech.
This week, we're remembering Rebecca Heineman, a gaming legend and LGBTQ activist, and Alice Wong, who was a leading queer disability activist. What a story.
Very,
both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Kazakhstan is going Russian and cracking down on open LGBTQ expression, which is not preventing a trans leader from moving there.
The Olympics takes another step towards banning trans women and women with higher testosterone.
Boy, it's going to be a very narrow category very soon of who can compete in those competitions.
Just girly girls? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably a dress code, too. Gay composer Benjamin Britten is honored with I like the statue, a very nice statue in Britain.
Unique.
You don't always get a nice statue.
Right.
This one I like.
And we will visit the world's first flock of gay sheep.
Must tell my sister-in-law about that.
It's a great story.
Well, she raises border collies for sheep herding competitions.
Okay. So California, the Supreme Court, they upheld a law that forbids willful misgendering of patients and residents in healthcare settings. And it's a ruling that they're saying this is not forbidden by the First Amendment. A lower court said it was, but they were overruled by the California Supreme Court. And, they said, look, this law is very carefully calibrated, doesn't restrict long-term care facilities, people, staff. You can still express your views about gender to anyone, including a resident, in any otherwise lawful manner, but you just can't talk to people that way when they are in that setting.
Let me try to simplify that a little. The right wing thinks that the California law that forbids misgendering patients or people in long-term care is a violation of their First Amendment free speech rights.
And religious rights.
And religious
rights. Because,
you
know, my religion says, oh, no, there's only two genders. Right. And my religion is Donald Trump.
And the court says, look, these are people in basically a forced long-term care. They can't get out and go away. They're subject to whatever you're doing to them. And you are not allowed to deliberately abuse them by misgendering them constantly in a deliberately bigoted way.
That's what they said. It's limited to willful, repeated, knowing acts.
Yeah. You want to have an opinion, you want to state your opinion.
And they say it's a legally protected category, so that's an issue,
so
too.
So it's an interesting distinction, because for years we've listened to debates about what are free speech rights? Can people say bigoted things without punishment? And here they've drawn a distinction that says if you are deliberately abusing people who don't have much of an opportunity to get away, that is not allowed.
Okay.
So it's a great decision.
Speaking of deliberately abusing people.
Which is not to say the right wing won't appeal that decision.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of deliberately abusing people, Trump hosted Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman this week. A picture of them at the White House. What a spectacle.
Sorry, no
pictures. Oh, you don't have pictures. Okay. Trump brushed off the murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi by Saudi agents, saying, a lot of people didn't like that gentleman you're talking about. I mean, it goes on and on. This is, I mean,
it was just disgusting.
Grotesque.
It's,
But it's all about a business deals for his family.
It is. And now I've forgotten one thing I was going to say. But the picture we had was of the two of them walking down the colonnade. And what struck me about the picture was that Trump looked terrible. His suit was all wrinkled. It was ill-fitting. It was a real mess.
Oh.
And he usually prides himself on something resembling.
You're looking all dressed.
Hey, I'm wearing a denim shirt. What the hell? But it was really, I can't get over how cruel he is to everyone around
him. That's the point.
Exactly, but he gets away with it.
Well, and they have.
I would call that deliberate cruelty to people who are subject. And calling the ABC reporter insubordinate. Insubordinate. Is he her king?
Plus, yes, and then threatened ABC's license over it.
And ABC then, doesn't have a license. They have stations that have licenses.
Then, of course, calling the other reporter piggy. And here's the point about all this abuse of reporters. None of the other reporters speak up.
Right.
You can't call someone piggy. You can't do that. It is abusive. You've got to stop. That's what I would say.
Yeah, well, it's not the
banned, but that's what you need to say.
But that's the thing. You have to risk being banned. You have to stand up all together and say, we are not going to stand for this, and we're going to all walk out, and you'll never see
any
of this.
And you'll only be on Fox News, and that's it. Maybe that's fine with you.
And the reporter's rationale, I'm sure, is we're not here to fight with him. We're here to show him as he is, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I mean, you know, look, I've interviewed a lot of bigots over the years, and I do just want to get them to just keep talking. You know, and I don't want to argue with them. I want to get them on the record.
No, that was my job. Dick Armey. You're a very rude young woman. You're a very rude congressman.
Yeah, but he started it.
Yeah, he did.
All right, let's talk about who was at that dinner sucking up to this horrible crowd. Out gay Apple CEO Tim Cook. You know, the company has already faced some blowback for hosting a Saudi app that allows men to track the movement of their wives and daughters. Cook said he would investigate the app, but it's still available today. Also there was Paramount CEO David Ellison, not gay that I know of, but he's the one shoving CBS to the right with Barry Weiss. And then, of course, the gay Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, although the list did not include his husband. Maybe the husband said, I'm not going to that thing.
I think the husband is staying in South Carolina in the Pink Mansion very happily.
And then, of course, Bryson DeChambeau, the golfer who sold out to the Saudis years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had some Fox News hosts. But almost all of them were corporate executives.
I'm sure. And the one thing I did notice was they're all pretty packed into that dining room.
Well, that's why we need the big dining room.
Exactly. I was waiting for that. He'll use it at some point.
By the way, this morning there was a very remarkable data point shift in the Marist poll. The latest poll gives Democrats a whopping 14-point lead among registered voters on what they call the national generic ballot, 55-41, up from a 48-48 split in their poll last year. It's the first time in more than 3 years that Democrats have had any notable generic ballot advantage in their poll, which gives you hope for the...
It does. But, of course, the election doesn't take place nationally like that. It takes place in every little locale. So if the Republicans control enough of the little locales... Right. And by the way, one observation... this whole thing about the Epstein files takes me right back to Nixon and the tapes. And he later regretted not burning the tapes.
He was a fool.
He was, but he handed over. He handed over the tapes. And Trump has been ordered or will be ordered to do so. But as we have discussed, he may find many ways around it. They fell in the ocean.
Well, the more interesting thing is the film and the photos and all that stuff that they have.
Yeah.
All right. A federal court in Texas on Tuesday blocked Texas's newly redrawn Republican-friendly congressional map.
I love that.
I don't know what that's going to mean for California, but this was a federal judge.
And a Texas court also ordered the removal of the Ten Commandments on the walls of classrooms. I thought that was pretty spectacular, too.
And
we're inch by inch, we're clawing it back.
And the U.S. Supreme Court has declined to take up a Florida Christian school's challenge to an athletic association's refusal to let them conduct a prayer over the loudspeakers at the championship game.
Well, this is two Catholic schools that were competing
Christian
in a...
Cambridge Christian University. These are,
I stand corrected. Yeah. So they were competing against each other in some championship game, and they wanted to start with a prayer over the loudspeakers in the Florida...
As they do in their own stadiums.
Yes.
But this is a public stadium.
Yes. And so the Florida High School Athletic Association said, sorry, this is public property. You can't do that.
It was the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah.
So, if I may quote Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners on the street, that they may be seen. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. All right.
Just a couple of footnotes. Trump refused to condemn Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes. He's all on board with the white supremacy.
And this should be a burden for every Republican candidate in the country.
Should
You've
be.
Got to separate yourself from these. You know, they love to scream anti-Semite all the time.
Yep.
But Nick Fuentes is off the charts.
And Kristi Noem has issued a new rule. The TSA at airports cannot let trans agents do pat downs. Trans woman agent has sued. Not only can they not perform, they can't witness pat downs. And they can't use the correct gender bathroom. And she described transgender people as having a mental delusion.
Well, she has a few herself. The U.S. Conference,
more than a few.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, they made news this week, you know, standing up for the immigrants. They did a whole tape with a whole bunch of bishops really criticizing the Trump administration's, you know, fascist things. But at the same time, the bishops voted to ban gender-affirming care at Catholic hospitals.
Yes, that speech was called Moral Limits to the Technological Manipulation of the Human Body.
Right.
They will give no care in trans care in Catholic hospitals, which cover 1/7 of U.S. patients are in Catholic hospitals.
So we've told you about how Colorado has this wonderful pre-K program, and anybody can apply for it. You just have to abide by state rules, and they'll give you the money. Archdiocese of Denver has a couple of schools that wanted to do this, but they want the right to discriminate against gay families, gay students, gay everything. And the state said, look, you can't do it that way. We have religious groups. performing this service with the pre-K. So they are appealing right to the Supreme Court and hoping for a different ruling. But, you know, I mean, I hope this is a bridge too far for the Supreme Court, but I don't know.
Well, 9 senators and 121 representatives have asked the Supreme Court to reject categorical bans on trans athletes as that case comes up in a couple of months, which implies that you can decide on a case-by-case basis. I don't know how the trans community feels about that these days, but I would say there's room for discussion of that, certainly. But and I think these politicians are very careful to describe it as categorical bans that they're against.
I apologize. We skipped over the other White House meeting that took place this week. The devil never sleeps. So in New York, we were subjected to these billionaires spending millions and millions of dollars on very Islamophobic ads against Zohra and Mamdani. They tried to help Andrew Cuomo. It didn't work. People power always beats money. It does. And Zohra had 90,000 volunteers. Now they had a big meeting at the White House with these same people, and they with Trump and everything, and they're working on getting Elise Stefanik elected governor of New York next year, so she over Kathy Hochul, so she can be a check on Zohra Mamdani. Don't give him anything.
Hochul, they won't give up.
Hochul, by the way, leads Stefanik in the latest poll this week by 20 points.
I mean,
she's anti-choice. She's MAGA.
Stefanik. Not Hochul.
No, Stefanik.
Yeah.
Stefanik. I mean, every single post that she puts up, she calls Hochul worst governor in America. I posted on Facebook. I said, do you think Kathy Hochul's the worst governor in America? Most people pick people like DeSantis, Greg Abbott, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
It's quite a competition. You're so vicious. Well, Hochul's doing very well in the polls, but there is a long way to go, and these people will spend a lot of money to drive those poll numbers
down.
As
they did with Mamdani, and
yes.
It didn't work.
Well, there weren't upstate voters in that race.
People, yes, but the city went so overwhelmingly for Mamdani.
And people are very excited for him to take over.
He just hired Eric Adams police commissioner.
I'm less excited about that. Very mixed. Here's the thing. When she was hired as police commissioner, after several failed attempts with others, one of the first things she did was root out some corruption in the department. Hallelujah! Maybe we have an honest...
Jessica Tisch, is that her name?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe we have...
She's rich, by the way. She is loaded.
Well, yes. Tisch. But then she started, again, defending those vicious cops.
Misconduct.
And that's very upsetting.
All right.
So I hope Mamdani will hold her to a higher standard.
So many people seem to be upset with Hakeem Jeffries, who's the Democratic leader in the House. And he, of course, represents a district in Brooklyn. He was very late to the game in endorsing Mamdani. You know, he has to walk a line. So Chai Asse, an out gay man who was a city council member out there in his district, wants to pull an AOC and try to knock off the leader.
Well, the problem is that AOC has already said she doesn't think this is a great idea.
And Mamdani isn't crazy about the idea.
Mamdani's been trying to talk Chai Asse out of this for a while. And he's late to the DSA game. He's just a late signer-upper as a member of the Democratic Socialists.
He's quite young.
He is, and he's been doing a terrific job on the city council. But the new DSA establishment is saying, we're not so sure we want to start this fight with Hakeem.
Okay. Back at our home district.
Yep.
Eric Botcher, our city, my city councilor, wherever you've moved, from Chelsea, has announced his for Congress for Jerry Nadler's seat. Now, it's a very crowded race.
10 candidates at the moment.
Eric lives on the same block as Jack Schlossberg, who is President Kennedy's grandson. We should have a little debate in the middle of 24th
Street.
I've
already proposed that last week.
We should have him on the show.
I want them to play Monopoly on the street. Scrabble.
But there are a lot of candidates. That's
paddleball.
It's a very important district. Every district is important.
I am in that district. I may have moved, but I'm in that district.
Right, you're still in the House district. Yes,
I am.
That's where the more conservative vote comes from. And Jack Schlossberg.
Me? No.
No, the East Side.
Yes,
I know. Jack Schlossberg is making a big pitch. He's reminding people, I am half Jewish, you know. And
Jack Schlossberg is not doing a good job of rolling out his campaign.
Yeah.
People are not fond of what he's doing. Because all he says over and over is, I am President Kennedy's grandson.
It's divide and conquer. All you need is about 21% of the vote to win, because there's no runoff. So people are trying to carve out their constituency.
Well, he's trying to go heavily into name recognition, and that may do it for
him.
But who knows?
We'll see.
But he hasn't. He has not come in swinging with a platform.
But Katie Wilson came out swinging in Seattle.
Wow.
And knocked off the incumbent mayor, I guess.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Now, she has a husband. She's not a lesbian, but she bears a slight resemblance.
Now.
It's not a slur.
Of course not. There's nothing wrong with lesbianism.
No, but I must say I was a little surprised that she had a husband.
She would be proud of you.
But she is a Democratic Socialist, and she did knock off the incumbent. And this is a big, big win on the other side of the country from Zoran Mamdani. And there is a lot to feel good about in these elections.
Right. And if you want to feel bad, you did the TSA story, but I do want to quote what a Department of Homeland Security spokesperson.
Wait, can I? I'm sorry.
Oh, sure.
I want to finish off Katie Wilson with a little more substance. She's been the head of the Transit Riders Union. She has no car. She lives in a rental apartment.
Zoran Mamdani doesn't drive.
Exactly. Well, in New York, that's understandable. Tax the rich to house the poor. At the same time she was elected, the city council was taken over by the Democrats. And that's a change. And evidently the tech bros in Seattle are a little upset about all of this.
Right. they're for democracy as long as they still are in control. Just to finish off that TSA story,
yes,
where you can't do the pat-downs and everything,
yeah,
here's what Tricia McLaughlin, the spokesperson, said. What a useless and fundamentally dangerous idea to prioritize mental delusion over the comfort and safety of American travelers. They're so disgusting the way they phrase these things. I mean, again, it is the Trans Day of Remembrance.
Yes.
This kind of ugly language sparks violence against trans people.
And why?
Violence.
Why are they so blind to the idea that human beings should be looked at as potentially good people?
Exactly. All right. And some good news from the faculty of the University of Michigan, because they voted overwhelmingly for a resolution to reinstate gender-affirming care procedures for minors at the university's medical center.
And we were glad to see Arizona Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva finally sworn in to the U.S. House, and spoke up in her introductory speech to the House members, saying, among other things, that we must stand up for LGBTQ rights.
This was in front of
everybody.
That Christian, Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson.
He had to listen to this.
He was standing about 5 feet away. It was beautiful.
I mean, they were taking pictures with each other, and she was going, rolling her eyes and like, you know, get me out of here.
Well, she's been around it. Her father was in Congress.
Yes.
And so I'm sure none of this is intimidating to her.
But by the way, South Park mocked the Trump administration.
Oh, my God.
Harder than ever this week with one of the most shocking, not safe for work scenes of the season. Now, we have a picture that,
we may or may not be able to
run of. He essentially has sex with a baby-faced J.D. Vance.
Yes.
I mean, they really go at it.
Yes. And Satan comes in and finds them at it and is very upset because he's standing there waiting to give birth to Trump's child because Trump has impregnated him. It's crazy.
Before they hooked up, Vance said to Trump, But boss, what about Satan? And Trump just ignored the question.
If you are not watching this year's
The Fox News anchors were heartbroken to witness seemingly concrete evidence that Trump was having an affair. After Trump told them that the footage was AI generated, however, they went right back to cheering the president on.
Well, the South Park kids at the beginning of the episode are making completely disgusting AI videos, which are a little takeoff on Trump's AI videos of dropping feces on New York City residents. Similar there. So you're into South Park now?
More than I have been.
Yes. You have to just admire their guts in doing it.
So you did talk about the Equality Caucus going after the anti-trans rhetoric, right?
Yes, exactly. Oral arguments on the trans student athletes case at the Supreme Court on January 13th.
All right. Now, I do want to remind you that it is the anniversary of, as we sit here, of the Club Q mass shooting in Colorado Springs. And Mark Takano, the out representative, chair of the Equality Caucus, you know, said, let's remember their names, Daniel Davis, Aston, Kelly Loving, Ashley Paw, Derek Rump, and Raymond Green Vance, murdered at Club Q in a terrible act of hate-fueled violence. To truly honor their memories, it falls on every one of us to take up the fight against anti-LGBTQ hate and the epidemic of violence plaguing our communities and work towards a day where no one fears being a victim of violence because of who they are or who they love.
Well said. And meanwhile, in the House of Representatives, 200-plus members of the House had to write a letter to Mike Johnson demanding that he enforce decorum on the floor of the House because the representatives are being so cruel to Sarah McBride and to trans people in general.
And, of course, members of Congress are protected from almost anything that they want to say.
But yes,
of course,
and the more, of their duties.
You know, when you confront a monster like who's the woman from South Carolina, Mace, about this, they just do it worse.
Yes. Now, Nancy Mace gets 1 second of praise for being one of the ones who signed the discharge petition.
She held firm.
Nancy Mace, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert.
Right.
And
they're very independent-minded women.
Whoa, are they? We're not going to forget anything they do and say, but
Marjorie Taylor Greene is semi-apologizing for some of her past excesses.
She is.
You know, like Jewish lasers and all that stuff.
Well, we will see how that proceeds and whether she really...
Now, is she going to run for Senate? She was blocked from running for Senate in Georgia, or she might
Senate
do it still?
Senate and governor. She wanted to run statewide, and Trump told her no.
Yes,
you will not win.
Now? Who knows? I'm not for her.
Unless she really, really does a 180. But, you know, we always leave room for...
Congress is abusing us. A real housewives star has read the housewives for filth for trans rights. This is Brenwyn Newport.
Bronwyn.
Oh, excuse me. It's a typo. Bronwyn Newport, star of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, calling her fellow housewives stars' indulgence in plastic surgery for what it is, gender-affirming care.
I thought that was a brilliant insight.
Which it is,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah, no. Bronwyn's no fool. She's having a little trouble with her husband, but but she got them all. They just had BravoCon, which is an annual convention in Las Vegas, and she had the crowds chanting, protect the dolls. The whole Salt Lake cast was getting the BravoCon attendees chanting that.
Wow. But according to Rob Shooter, Andy Cohen is fuming over Portia Williams' FBI scandal, which ruined BravoCon and drew
please.
Attention from it. Oh, you're saying our friend
no,
Rob
I
Shooter?
No, I love Rob, and I'm now reading his daily Substack or whatever it is. And he's got great stuff, and it's terrific. But I'm not criticizing him, Andy Cohen. If it's true that Andy is upset, that's ridiculous. Porsche had a run-in with someone on a flight and got escorted off the flight. And according to Rob, Andy is saying this ruined BravoCon. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But the real news about Porsche and about Porsche's on Atlanta, and Real Housewives of Atlanta, then Kyle Richards on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, both have been talking about their bisexual leanings. Porsche is now dating both a man and a woman. Not required to be bisexual, just open to being attracted to both, not simultaneously dating them. But that's what she's doing. And Kyle has been rumored to be dating a woman for quite a while. And she's sort of inching towards saying, well, you know, maybe I am open to that.
You know,
it's breaking out all over.
You know, I know this is so important to our viewers that I make Ann watch these shows.
Yes, because otherwise I never would. Right. I could go on. Maybe I should do a Housewives show.
Why not? Okay. Now, you know.
But we should also say, sorry.
Go ahead.
With Bronwyn really pushing the cast to pro-trans statements, which they have generally been pretty good at. I can't remember, and I've watched a lot of these shows for a lot of hours, I can't remember any anti-trans things they've done.
But. And pardon my ignorance, maybe I just haven't been listening, but trans housewives?
No. Mm. Barely lesbian or bisexual housewives, but they're inching in that direction.
All right.
And meanwhile, our associate producer Bill Ballman lets us know that Turner Classic Movies has been doing some observation of this month as Transgender Awareness Month. And
they're very pro-LGBTQ over there.
They are. Well, that's another longer conversation. But on this coming Monday, they're doing a double feature of Dog Day Afternoon, which is Al Pacino robbing a bank.
I just saw it on TCM. I guess they're rerunning it.
And Ma Vie en Rose, which is the French film about the kid who is coming out. So.
All right.
Monday on TCM.
So, almost 4 years ago, at the dawn of Mayor Eric Adams' corrupt mayoralty, there was a huge protest because he appointed three horrible anti-gay pastors to high posts in the administration. Well, a couple of them left, but Eric Salgado, he stayed on. And during the campaign, he posted the most Islamophobic things against Zoran Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani's election. He said a Christian can never vote for this person. And he posted a picture of the World Trade Center burning and said, never forget, with a picture of Mamdani. Now, oh, my goodness. And he's paid $120,000 a year to be the liaison to immigrant communities. And so, but Adams wouldn't fire him.
No. In spite of the anti-Islamic stuff more recently.
All right.
Personal Facebook posts, whatever.
All right, Pete Buttigieg. He seems to do his best in these interviews to try to, like, distance himself from a lot of DEI and all those kinds of things. I'll quote him so that we don't get this messed up. There were expressions in the Democratic Party that suggested all that matters to you fit now is based on your identity, and therefore the only things we can do for you have to do with your identity. And it turns out if you do it that way, you can't stitch together a story that makes sense across the board, and you actually lose many people in the very identity groups you think you're talking to. Now, this is the kind of talk that, you know, this distancing talk that he thinks is going to win. I think the stuff that J.B. Pritzker and Gavin Newsom are doing, I'm not saying I endorse them, but they're fighting out there with Trump, and they're fighting fascism, and he's talking about this.
And they're standing up for all the people.
Yeah.
And he's being too cute by half in trying to parse this and maneuver this, and I don't like that. I would disagree with him
we
completely.
We need people at the front lines. Ann's out there fighting ICE on the street at this point, right?
Well, I'm part of a new Hands Off NYC is the citywide effort to be prepared for when ICE comes back, which they are going to do after the first of the year when Mamdani takes over as mayor and the Trump administration tries to come in and undermine him. And they're already here. They're already dragging people away in Washington Heights and Queens.
And courtrooms.
In courtrooms. Oh, they've been doing that forever. So neighborhood by neighborhood, people are organizing to try to be prepared to fight back. And there's a group called Chelsea Neighbors United, which I am a member of, even though I left Chelsea.
I know. But in Chicago, they've developed a whole whistle system that signals.
We were handing out whistles.
That signals everybody, they're here, watch out. And it's so tragic. Kids aren't going to school. People can't go to their jobs. And these are people we rely on for everyday things. And you want them in, you want them in detention centers. You want them taken away from their families. And, if, you know, of course, if you run, you know, Homeland Security or whatever, you say, well, they're here illegally and they shouldn't be. And da-da-da-da-da.
Well, I just can't.
And some of them are not here illegally. They're in. They have cases. They have asylum cases, and they're locked up anyway. Some of them are citizens.
Exactly.
And they're getting locked up.
It's just.
And they're getting locked up by fascists wearing masks and uniforms and military style.
How can we be living in a country where all these people cannot see the richness brought to this country for hundreds of years by immigrants?
You know, and I'm not crazy about the American Revolution series. I've tried to watch.
I'm not even trying.
I tried to watch some of it. But what really got the colonials upset was, and they, of course, were part of Britain at that time, was when soldiers started to get stationed in their towns. Soldiers. I mean, and they just said, whoa, wait a minute. You're monitoring us. You're supposed to be part of us. That really triggered them. That's what's triggering us about military being sent in to our cities.
I would like us to get triggered more, but yes, I think that is part of why the elections went the way they did a couple of weeks ago, why people are standing up.
Why the Latino vote completely flipped in the midterms?
Overreach. They are
not midterms,
overreaching, and it is coming back to haunt them.
All right, Massachusetts. A parent is suing... U.S. Supreme Court decision in Mahmoud, which said that, you know, if you want to opt your kid out of things. Now, here's two books that they're objecting to. And what are All Are Welcome, Families. You know, these are, but he believes, his family believes that God created people in his image, either male or female, and that human sexuality is a gift to be expressed only within the context of one man, one woman marriage. That's a lot of sex talk, sir.
Well, fine. You want to believe that? You want to teach your kid that? Go right ahead. But the school refused to exempt the kid from very mild reading lessons.
Family shows anthropomorphic animals in scenes of family life.
The books show the reality of the population,
right.
Period. They're not about sex. They're just saying,
of course,
it's a diverse population. Here it is. And he doesn't want to deal with reality, and he wants to shield his kids from that knowledge.
From the message that all are welcome here.
And therefore, that's how we raise a population of fearful haters.
Let's talk about Nadine Smith.
Let's do.
She, of course, has been the director of Equality Florida for 28 years with Stratton Politzer. So she's going to step down. Stratton is going to step up and run that group as the CEO and executive director. But
I've been to conferences with Nadine for years and years and years. She couldn't be a nicer, smarter, more terrific human being. And she's done a brilliant job at Equality Florida. It's one of the more successful groups like that around the country. And she's moving on to Color of Change to be the president and CEO. So one can only imagine where she could take that. But she recorded a goodbye video, and we're going to show you a little bit of that.
Hi, I'm Nadine Smith, Executive Director of Equality Florida. I'll be honest with you. I'm as shocked to be saying these words as you might be hearing them. After 28 years at the helm of Equality Florida, I'm stepping into my next big challenge, to lead Color of Change, the nation's largest online racial justice organization at this time of enormous peril in our country. But before I say anything else, let me say this. Equality Florida has never been stronger. My commitment to this organization and its mission is forever. This is family. This is home. And I'm brimming with confidence because the team we've built here is without question among the most talented and dedicated in the nation. And I'm so proud to share that my dear friend, my co-founder, and my co-leader for all of those 28 years, Stratton Politzer, has been named the incoming executive director and CEO of Equality Florida. There is no one more ready to carry this movement forward. I'll be here through most of January to help ensure a smooth transition. And I'm not going anywhere. I remain a Floridian. I remain part of Frontline Florida. And I will always wear my Equality Florida uniform with pride.
Well, she really is fantastic in what she's accomplished in the belly of the beast, dealing with Governor
Florida.
DeSantis and the Republicans there.
Sorry, I just swallowed the wrong
way. For the fourth time, have introduced a bill to ban race, gender, and sexual orientation related flags on public buildings.
All right. The next one is a very odd crime story. There was a masked suspect vandalizing churches in New York with anti-Christian message. But this person was draped in an LGBTQ flag. I mean, so we don't know what's going on. Is this a gay person acting against Christianity? Or is it an anti-gay person trying to, we don't know.
No, and we assume it's a he. I suppose it isn't necessarily.
We don't know.
But he wrote messages on three churches, and what they were labeling the churches anti-gay cult a cult. Those are the messages he wrote. And the cops who put out a notice about this said, it's not really a hate crime because
it's a characterization.
It was a discussion. I'm making up that word, but they were very reasonable in making a distinction and saying this was not some big attack on the church. This was, this is what I'm going to call you.
But he wrote it on the building?
Yes.
Well, that's vandalism.
Well, but that is what it is. It's vandalism. It's not a hate crime.
I see. Interesting.
So I don't know that he's been apprehended or identified. And I'm making an assumption about his gender. But
talk about Summer Warden.
Well, we did this story several years ago when this came up. Start with Colonel Ann McClain, astronaut, up on the space shuttle, but in a divorce proceeding with her partner, Summer Warden, there in the inset, an intelligence officer. And they were having a custody battle over their child, and it was very contentious. So Summer Warden, back on Earth, says, my wife has been accessing my bank account from space and stealing my money. And the colonel said, no way. Well, Summer Warden has now admitted that she was lying, that her wife was not accessing the bank account from space. The divorce proceedings continue and the custody fight, I guess. But right. It's very nice that we now know the truth. You cannot access a bank account from space.
Let's talk about some people we lost, okay?
Okay.
All right. Rebecca Heineman, she was a gaming legend, an LGBTQ activist, died at the age of 52. She was an American video game designer and programmer.
I am at 62, no?
Oh, you're right. You're quite right. My printer wasn't working so well this morning. That's why I've been making these mistakes. She was a founding member of video game companies, Interplay Productions, Logicware, Contraband Entertainment, et cetera. She'd been a chief executive officer for Old Day School since 2013. But in 1980, she was considered the first national video game tournament champion. Around 2003, she began to transition as a woman, and she lives as a lesbian. She resided in Heath, Texas. She served as a board member of GLAAD and became an inductee at the International Video Game Hall of Fame. She had five children and was married to a guy and who died in 2024 who had cancer. She had an aggressive form of cancer.
And then there's Alice Wong, who died at age 51, a legendary queer disability activist. She had a muscular atrophy condition, but died of sepsis. She had been given a MacArthur Genius Grant for her activism. She was a relentless activist for disability rights.
And when she was born, her parents were told she won't live to be an adult. And she lasted this long. She served on President Barack Obama's National Council on Disability. And that's a picture of him with her in a what's it called? It's a mobile device. She became the first person to visit the White House using a virtual robot presence that allows a person to stream live with a webcam and move around the room. Because you know, she was great. She wrote a memoir, which is Year of the Tiger, an activist life. She said the systemic ableism that I and millions of others face every day tells us that we don't matter and that our lives are too expensive and not worth saving.
Yeah.
So she was fierce.
Congratulations to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which this weekend will install its first woman and first out lesbian as Bishop of the Metropolitan New York Synod.
I'll take a few pictures.
Yeah. Join Andy at the installation.
It's going to be at St. John the Vine, which is the Episcopal Cathedral, but she's Lutheran.
Okay.
All right. International news.
Yes.
France expanded anti-homophobic bullying protections.
Criminalizing school bullying.
Russian security forces raided a costume party, and that turned out to be like... It wasn't a gay thing. They thought it was non-traditional.
And while the Prince of Saudi Arabia was here, a gay couple is suing Lufthansa Airlines, which gave men's marriage license to the government of Saudi Arabia,
just awful.
Which can impose the death penalty. So one partner, the Saudi partner, remains in the U.S. and had to sell his Saudi property at a loss. They've been together for 33 years.
Wow. All right. Kazakhstan's lower house of parliament approved a bill banning what it calls LGBT propaganda in the media and online. Now, it imposes fines of up to 10 days in jail for repeat offenders, but it does mirror similar laws in Russia, Georgia, and Hungary, and it moves to the Senate. Even though homosexuality has been legal in Kazakhstan, but the New York Times did a profile of Robin McCutcheon, the first out transgender diplomat from the United States. And like a lot of people, especially trans people, she's fleeing the United States as it targets them with hate. But where's she moving? Kazakhstan.
Well, she was posted there for a while as a diplomat, and she has a lot of friends there.
Well, out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Hey. You know, we live here.
And a Dutch court denied U.S. trans woman Veronica Clifford Carlos, 28, asylum based on her gender identity. She's been in a detention center, and she says the idea of returning to the United States fills her with more dread than I have ever experienced in my entire life. But the Netherlands, which is about to have a gay prime minister, basically says, we can't be, United States isn't that bad. And there are other places you could move in the United States that aren't that bad.
Well, okay. Pope Leo at the Vatican had his Jubilee of the Poor luncheon. He invited 43 trans women,
wow.
But he didn't sit with them.
What?
It's one of these big things where there are hundreds of people.
He didn't come?
He came. He didn't sit with them.
Oh, okay. Well, and he was wearing a dress.
Of course. In the UK, in Suffolk, England, there's a new statue of Benjamin Britten as a young man.
Very fascinating thing. And, it's
great, a lovely statue.
Great gay composer.
Yep.
And there it is. It's a symbol of hope and aspiration for the next generation.
Northern Ireland will now offer bi-monthly PrEP injections instead of daily pills. That's a good thing.
The Olympics is moving closer to banning trans women and others under all their new policies that they're solidifying for the Olympics.
Let's go to Germany. Here's the deal. Gay sheep.
Oh, yes.
Male gay sheep, because they don't reproduce with ewes, are generally sacrificed. They are killed for
their... with ewes, with female sheep.
Yeah. So this farmer in Germany thought that was a big waste of time. So he said, I'm going to start a new organization called Rainbow Wool, and I am going to have a flock of gay sheep and just keep them alive and have more and more of them. And we'll use their wool to make money and justify their existence.
But the great thing is that when a ewe, a female sheep, gets pregnant, they don't produce wool.
I wasn't aware of that. But again, I will ask my sister-in-law, who has sheep and raises border collies, to compete with them. Now, let us look at the video of the gay sheep flock in Germany.
This gay farmer is raising the world's first flock of gay sheep on his farm in Germany. 51-year-old Michael Stucka has a herd of 21 gay rams on his farm in Lohne, North Rhine-Westphalia in Germany, where he lives with his husband. The farm's breeder says the rams are attracted to other males, saying they court each other, mount each other, and ignore the ewes. Studies have shown that around 8% of rams are gay, and that between 18 to 22% are bisexual. Michael explained that regulations dictate that there must be one ram per 50 ewes, and that ram is expected to produce offspring. If that ram is gay, they won't, and often that ram will end up at the slaughterhouse. Wanting to change this, Michael bought 21 gay rams from breeders and started Rainbow Wool with a friend. The wool collected from the sheep is used to create LGBTQ+ themed merch, like caps, patches, and shoelaces. Profits from the products goes to the Federation Queer Diversity in Germany, which helps various LGBTQ+ causes. The farm's sheep breeder, Klaus Louis Hahn, says, "The initiative is great because the rams can live a happy life with their peers and be their true selves." Michael has said the process benefits the sheep and the community. In such a conservative industry like farming, this is a revolution and truly special. Michael, who is a member of Germany's Gay Farmer Network, also hopes the project will change stereotypes around the farming industry.
Well, one of the Rainbow Wool guys says you can't say the sheep were corrupted by woke culture.
Well, my favorite line is that they can live as their true selves.
Well, it's true. And of course, and this whole business of discarding them, killing them, it really was anti-gay.
Totally.
They didn't
spend a second thinking about
it. They're not entitled to life.
Yeah.
Where were the right to life people?
Yeah.
Protecting the gay sheep.
He's also in a collaboration with Grindr on this.
That's true.
Yes. I wouldn't lie. All right. Well, we are down to our last 30 seconds.
Oh, no, we're exhausted.
We are. It turns out, you know, the thing about Mrs. Macron is trans.
Oh, yes.
It turns out there's a whole organization that says everybody is trans. Charlie and Erica Kirk, trans. Michelle Obama, trans.
Well, look,
all pageant contestants.
I just say, everybody, we are all on the man-to-woman spectrum. Everybody.
And we'll leave you with that thought and be back next week. Bye.